breathing heavily. And then the Christian soldier does the most amazing thing. He falls to his knees in deep, profound prayer. To be sure, there will be action. He will rise and his steel will flash. But all will be done in prayer, for prayer is primary. Great picture there of the spiritual armor, the importance of prayer. Edward Payson said it this way: prayer is the first thing, the second thing, the third thing necessary to minister. Pray, therefore, my dear brother, pray, pray, pray. Samuel Chadwick once said, Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. John Piper said this: prayer is primarily a wartime walkie-talkie for the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. It is not surprising that prayer malfunctions when we try to make it a domestic intercom to call upstairs for more comforts in the den. And D.A. Carson wrote this: do you not sense the severity of the problem? That we are better at organizing than agonizing, better at administering than interceding, better at fellowship than fasting, better at entertainment than worship, better at theological articulation than spiritual adoration, better, God help us, at preaching than praying. That arrow was for my own heart this morning. In our text today, Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20, we're going to discover this important truth. Prayer is the supreme strategy. Prayer is the supreme strategy for spiritual warfare. Listen, a soldier can possess the best equipment, but he will be of no help in the war as he is strategically deployed to the right place at the right time. That's where prayer comes into play. And Paul gives us instructions in our text on how we're to fight this spiritual war in prayer. First, a good soldier of Jesus Christ must pray powerfully. We must pray powerfully. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It is a supernatural, personal struggle, a wrestling, as we said last week, breath for breath, sweat against sweat. We've got to be watchful. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, prowls around, seeking whom, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. His evil is beyond comprehension. He is diabolically clever. He masquerades as an angel of light. And he has myriads of evil spirits at his disposal, trained, organized, strategically deployed to deceive the nations and to destroy the church. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, Christ made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So we fight in this spiritual war, this spiritual battle, knowing that Christ has already won the victory, knowing that Christ has not left us defenseless. In fact, he himself is our defense. We are strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We must clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who represents that spiritual armor, the one who is truth and righteousness and peace and faith and salvation and the Word. But don't miss this. Here's the key to our whole study this morning. Prayer is the power that enables us to wear his armor and to wield his sword. Prayer is that power. Look with me at our text, Ephesians 6 and verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Let's go ahead and stop there. To pray in the Spirit is to pray powerfully. To pray powerfully is to pray in the Spirit. The biblical formula for prayer is we pray to the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Spirit. And if we go back a number of verses. Ephesians 6, verse 18, Paul commanded us to do what? To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, that means to be completely under His control, completely under His power. And how do we do that? How do we experience His filling? We experience it as we turn away from sin, as we let the Word of God, the Word of the Holy Spirit, dwell richly in our hearts, and we yield our entire lives, our everything to Him. Only when we are filled with the Holy Spirit can we pray in the Holy Spirit. Apart from Him, we're severely limited, aren't we? We're severely limited in knowledge. We're severely limited in wisdom. If we pray in our own strength, our own wisdom, our own knowledge, we will certainly pray, "My will be done, not Thy will be done." But prayer is not about getting our will done. Prayer is about aligning our hearts with the will of God. Jesus modeled that for us. The Garden of Gethsemane, He was in deep anguish about what He was about to face at the cross, bearing our sins in His own body, the Father turning His back and forsaking the Son. Jesus was in anguish at that, but He fell to the ground, with His face to the ground, He prayed this, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as You will." His kingdom come, His will be done is always better than our kingdom come, our will be done. But how can we pray that? How can we pray His will be done? It's only possible with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Romans, you can follow along on the screen. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 presents this truth. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." Amazingly, this is an amazing thought. The Holy Spirit prays for us, and the Holy Spirit prays with us, infusing His prayers into our prayers. That is an incredible thought, an incredible help of the Holy Spirit. It's been illustrated this way. There's a little boy whose father was away on a trip. And that boy wanted to present his father with something meaningful when he returned. So his mother sent him out to the garden to pick some flowers, to put together a bouquet of flowers. What the boy gathered was a sorry bouquet of flowers mixed in with a bunch of weeds. So weeds and flowers to present his father. But when his father returned home, he was presented with a beautifully arranged bouquet. How was that? It's because his mother had intervened, removing all of the weeds from that bouquet. So it is with prayer. As our prayers ascend to the throne of God, let's be honest, they're a mixed bag of weeds and flowers. But thanks to the Holy Spirit, His intercessory work on our behalf, our prayers as they ascend to God's throne are presented to Him as a beautiful arrangement, a beautiful bouquet of flowers. And get this, we know that God the Father always answers the prayers of the Holy Spirit for us, because those prayers are always in the will of God. I think a good practice for us in our lives would be to wait on the Holy Spirit as we pray. Wait in silence. Prayer lists are great. They've got their place. They help direct our prayers and guide our prayers, keep us on track. But I think it's also important to sit in silence and open our minds to the Holy Spirit so He will give us prayers to pray. And that's where the sword of the Spirit, which we talked about last week, comes into play. The Greek here in verses 17 and 18 actually literally reads, "Take the Word of God, praying in the Spirit." Those two things join together. Take the Word of God, praying in the Spirit. We wield the weapon of the Word by prayer. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through His Word, which is God's revealed will. He gives us those prayers to pray from the Word of God. So knowledge of the Scripture is absolutely invaluable to our prayer lives. I want to return just for a moment to that battle between the Amalekites and the Israelites. You might remember Joshua and his men were there in the valley. They were engaging with the enemy in battle. Moses stood up on the mountain holding the staff of God in his hands. And as his hands were raised up to the heavens, the Israelites prevailed. As his hands were lowered, the Amalekites prevailed. It's generally understood that Moses' hands raised up to the heavens is a picture of his intercessory prayer for Israel. So there we see in that battle, it took both prayer on the mountain and the sword in the valley to win the victory. Take the Word of God, praying in the Spirit. We also know this. We hear a lot about praying in faith. Well, praying in the Spirit is praying in faith. The Holy Spirit gives us the settled conviction, the confidence that what we are praying through the Word of God is, in fact, God's will. I hope these words from 1 John 5 encourage you in your prayer life. Verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Again, God always answers the prayers of the Holy Spirit for us. One last thing to note, we are weak, no doubt about it. We're weak in wisdom, we're limited in knowledge. But more than that, we're physically weak at times. We're emotionally weak at times. We're spiritually weak at times, right? We all get sick sometimes. Some of us get depressed from time to time. At other times, we're in the grips of sin. It's in those moments that the Holy Spirit energizes our prayers. He enables us to pray. He helps us in our weakness when we do not know what to pray, interceding for us. So a good soldier in Jesus Christ must pray powerfully. How can a person do that? A person can do that by praying in the Spirit. Good soldier of Jesus Christ must also pray persistently. Now I want to say a couple things so we can avoid some pitfalls here. Okay? Prayer is not the accumulation of merit at the throne of God, as if we pray enough prayers, then God will at some point finally answer us. Okay, there's no earning of merit. It's all of grace, of course. We don't change God's heart. We don't twist His arm. God's not a genie in the bottle, right? He doesn't exist for our will, for our wishes. We don't convince Him with our passion. It's not trying to get His attention. Persistent prayer is not trying to get God's attention. Why? Because we can approach God's throne of grace boldly at any time. We always have His attention. God sovereignly encourages persistence in prayer for His eternal glory. That's the bottom line. He delights in answering prayer, but listen, it's always according to His sovereign will and His sovereign timeline. Sometimes that's hard for us from a human perspective. Look with me again at our text, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You see a word repeated a few times in that verse, actually four times. It's the word all. What that indicates is our lives are to be permeated with prayer. I've shared this metaphor before, but I'd like to share it again. A metaphor for prayer. Prayer is breathing. It really is. Prayer is breathing. It's essential to our existence. Necessary for everything that we do. It should be natural. It should come as natural to us as breathing. A constant communion with the Father. Note that we're to pray on all occasions. Now, in the immediate context of spiritual warfare, this would be referring to when the evil day comes, in that moment of temptation, that moment of trial, we're to pray. Must keep the radio channel open with our commander. When we're tempted to sin, we're to immediately cry out to God, the one who is faithful, the one who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, but who will also provide a way out so that we can endure it. But persistence in prayer not just applies to spiritual warfare, but it really applies to all aspects of life, to all of life. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5 says we are to pray what? Without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Continual communion with God. But how do we do that? It would be impossible for me or for you to go throughout your day, every moment, every second, in verbal communication with God. Obviously, that's not realistic. That's not even possible. So what does it mean? Prayer is more than spoken words. Prayer is a posture of our hearts as we walk through our day. John Wesley described it this way. His heart is ever lifted up to God at all times and in all places. In this, he is never hindered, much less interrupted, by any person or thing. In retirement or company, in leisure, business, or conversation, his heart is ever with the Lord. Whether he lie down or rise up, God is in all his thoughts. He walks with God continually, having the loving eye of his mind still fixed upon him, and everywhere seeing him that is invisible. That's a great way of looking at that. Praying unceasingly. In other words, all of life is to be prayed. We actually see that in the next phrase here. With all kinds of prayers and requests. But how are we to pray? There's really no biblical prescription on how a person can pray. We see people praying in a variety of ways throughout the Scripture. Publicly, privately, in cries, in whispers, standing and sitting, kneeling, eyes open and closed, deliberate prayer, spontaneous prayer. Listen, what is most important is the posture of a person's heart, a humble, dependent posture towards the Lord. There's more than one kind of praying as well. There is confession. There is adoration, thanksgiving, supplication, song, intercession. There are all kinds of different praying. So when we fall into sin, right, we cry out to God who is faithful. We confess to God who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we witness God's power in creation, even as it's raining, you see that beautiful greenery when the rain's coming down. We cry out to God in praise. God, you are worthy of our praise. God, you are great. Your greatness no one can fathom. When we face a moment of decision, what do? We humbly trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We don't lean on our own understanding. And He will direct our paths. He will make our paths straight. So praying in all of life. Even thanksgiving. Paul gives that emphasis, Philippians 4 on the screen, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, thanksgiving is a crucial weapon in our arsenal against the schemes of the devil. Remember last week we talked about one of his schemes is to cause us to doubt the goodness of God. That's the very thing he did back there in the Garden of Eden. So when he causes us to doubt God's goodness, we count our blessings. And as the song goes, right, we name them one by one. What's the point there? The point is we pray specifically. Why should a person pray specifically? It's because prayer is to put God's glory on display. And if we fail to pray specifically, we will not recognize every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father in heaven. We'll fail to recognize it comes from Him and give Him the glory. I received a text this week from a brother in Christ on Wednesday. He'd asked me to pray for his father some time ago, pray very specifically for him. And the text read this way, "Just wanted to thank you for your prayers for my dad. They tested his bone marrow today and the cancer cells are gone." What's our response when we read a text like that? Only response can be, to God be the glory. Great things He has done. We've prayed specifically. God has answered specifically. To Him be the glory. But if God delights in answering prayer, there's the other side of that cancer diagnosis, those results of the testing. What do we do in the silence? Some of you may be in the silence this morning. God seems very distant. you've prayed and prayed and He doesn't seem to be answering, I encourage you, never forget the nature of God. God is sovereign. He's omniscient. He's just. He's good and gracious and loving. God is answering prayer even in the silence. Sometimes the silence is a loving no. Why is that? It's because we asked amiss. We asked for the wrong thing. And God is redirecting our prayers, making our prayers fall in line with His will. Sometimes the silence is God's way of bringing us to the end of ourselves, causing us to increase our dependence on Him for everything. Sometimes the silence refines our prayers, and let's be honest, our prayers often need refining. Over time, seeking His face, being in His Word, He redirects, aligns our heart with His so that we can pray for our eternal good, especially for His eternal glory, so He can answer in that way. But regardless, we have the absolute confidence that God hears and answers prayer according to His sovereign timetable and His sovereign will. In the words of Jesus, Matthew 7, in the original Greek, it would read this way, "Keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open." I appreciate how one commentator put it. Keep on praying until the Spirit stops you or the Father answers you. That's pretty good advice. A good soldier of Jesus Christ prays powerfully. A good soldier of Jesus Christ prays persistently. And then finally, a good soldier of Jesus Christ prays purposefully. Oftentimes, I know my prayers are, oftentimes our prayers are focused on the physical, the material, the temporal. But it's interesting, in all of Paul's prison prayers, you can go through and read them for yourselves. In all of Paul's prison prayers, he is focused on the physical. He is focused on the spiritual. It's not wrong to pray for the physical needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not wrong to pray for their material needs. But listen, they have much greater spiritual needs in their lives. Those are the things we need to focus our prayers on. Look with me at our text one more time. We'll read the entire verse. Verse 18. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." We're a band of brothers, aren't we? Band of brothers and sisters, one commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the church, the body of Christ. In the Lord's Prayer, it's not "My Father which art in heaven," it is "Our Father which art in heaven." One family, all of God's children. So the primary concern of our prayer lives should not be self, it should be others. Should not be physical, it should be spiritual. That's what Paul is trying to teach us this morning. We must be awake, he says, alert, watchful. Why? These are evil days that we're living in. They were evil days in the first century. They're evil days today in 2022. That phrase, watch and pray, it appears all throughout the Scriptures, Old Testament and New. You might remember when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem and the enemy was attacking them, trying to thwart that work. The Bible says that Nehemiah prayed and posted a guard day and night to meet the threat. Watch and pray. And what happened? God gave the victory in that situation. In contrast, you might remember in the garden, Jesus warned Peter, "Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation." What did Peter do? Peter slept rather than prayed, and the devil stole a victory in Peter's life in that instance. We must be alert to the needs of other believers in the war. Watch and pray. Listen, the greatest thing you can do for your spouse, for your children, for your parents, your siblings, for others in this auditorium right now, your brothers and sisters in Christ, for your pastor, your pastors, for your missionaries, is to intercede for them. There is no greater thing we can do for one another. To pray for spiritual protection. Not physical protection, spiritual protection. To pray for spiritual strength. To pray for spiritual healing. To pray that we might win the victory over temptation. We might be delivered from the evil one. To pray that your brother, your sister might grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To pray that they might walk that good path, that path of good works that God prepared in advance for them to walk in, that they might bear eternal fruit for His glory. These are the prayers we need to utter for our brothers and sisters. We're all in the war together. We each need each other's prayers. It's actually how Paul prayed. He prayed this way in the letter to the Ephesians, but not just in this letter. We looked at those prayers. I want to look at a couple of his other prayers right now. To the church at Philippi, he wrote this. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Great prayer for the Philippians. To the church at Colossae, he wrote, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in His inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. To the church of the Thessalonians, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling and that by His power He may bring to fruition every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The three examples there. Many other examples of Paul praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of requests for all the saints. A great example for us. Those are great scriptures to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. We also have some resources for you here at Johnston Chapel out at the Welcome Center. The prayer page on our website is not at the Welcome Center. That's on our website. We do have that. The prayer page. We've got the Wednesday night bulletin that's often out there. We have our prayer calendar. We have the global crosstalk ways, resources you can use to pray effectively, purposefully for your brothers and your sisters in Christ. And Paul now asks the Ephesians to pray for him, to remember him in their prayers, verses 19 and 20. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. You might recall the context, the historical background here. Paul is, in fact, in prison. He's a prisoner in Rome for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, there's no griping and complaining. There's no prayer, no asking prayer for his release. He doesn't pray for safety, doesn't pray for comfort, any of these things. What does he pray? He prays that he asks for prayer that he will make the most of this opportunity that God has given him, whether he be in chains or whether he's standing there at trial before an unbelieving world, before Rome. His greatest desire was the advancement of the gospel. That's a spiritual prayer request. That's a selfless prayer request that Paul asks for. Pray, church, pray that God will give me opportunity and wisdom and boldness and effectiveness in preaching the mystery of the gospel. A little bit of an anomaly here. Paul is an ambassador in chains. Isn't that interesting? An ambassador for a foreign who represents a foreign government would expect to be treated with dignity and respect, right? But Jesus Christ, as a representative and ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, bore the the chains of a prisoner. Some really good lessons for us here. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Here's another application of prayer in our text. We've been given our marching orders, church. What are our marching orders? Matthew 28, to go and to make disciples of all nations, right? Whether that be Princeton or Mercer County, United States, across our nation, or to the uttermost parts of the earth, we're to go and make disciples. When we obey that command of Jesus Christ, we will enter into severe conflict with the enemy. He hates it when the gospel of Jesus Christ advances. But I want to encourage you, never forget the power you possess in this mission, right? The one who sends you to go and make disciples is the Lord Jesus Christ, the omnipotent one. He's the one who promises to be with you always, even to the very end of the age. And then as we learned over the last few weeks, you yourself have Christ's resurrection power within you. You talk about unlimited power because of the grace of God through Christ. And then that message that you carry with you, the gospel of salvation, it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. We have incredible power to go and to make disciples, to enter into this spiritual battle. Here's the key though. Prayer releases all of that power. Take the Word of God, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, praying in the Spirit. Listen, if we want to see the gospel penetrate and get into enemy territory, then prayer must be primary. Prayer is essential at Johnston Chapel, praying for our brothers and sisters in their disciple-making mission. Pray that we would have opportunity, wisdom, boldness, effectiveness in sharing Christ. I was encouraged this week by the testimony of George Mueller, known for his fervency in prayer. When asked if he really believed that two men for whom he had prayed for over 50 years would be converted, listen to Mueller's reply. I love it. "Do you think God would have kept me praying all these years if He did not intend to save them?" And what a great response. Both men were converted, one shortly before, the other shortly after Mueller's death. What a great testimony. May we take full advantage of our present circumstances. Listen, it's no mistake where you live and where you work and where you run and play, all of those things. The people that are there, that's no coincidence. It's all by the providence of God. So may we make the most of every opportunity He's given us in His providence. May we bathe our gospel efforts in fervent, persevering prayer. And would you please pray for us? Not trying to be selfish or trying to be like Paul here. May you pray for us. Why? Because leaders in the church are the special target of Satan's arrows oftentimes. Arrows of depression and discouragement, which I experience, all our pastors experience from time to time. Arrows of trials and temptation. Satan hates our work. He doesn't want me to prepare you for works of service so that the church might be built up, the church might be unified. He's opposing that work at every turn. So please pray for us. We need to understand that prayer is an expression of our dependence on God for absolutely everything. No prayer, what does that say? God, I don't need you. God, I got this on my own. Infrequent prayer says what? God, I need you just in special circumstances when things get out of my control. But that's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Because absolutely everything is out of our control. Frequent prayer says, God, I need you for everything, for absolutely everything in life. All of life is to be prayed. So my encouragement to you before I lose my voice this morning is that you reorder your priorities. Make prayer primary. Don't allow lesser things, as I often do, allow lesser things to crowd out the most important thing, to rob you of God's power in your life. Choose portions of Scripture. These are Holy Spirit-inspired prayers of Paul and others. Take the Scriptures and pray them persistently and wait on God for His answer. Make prayer the posture of your heart, whether here in this building or at work or at home or at the gym or any other place. Prayer is the supreme strategy for spiritual warfare. A good soldier in Jesus Christ must pray powerfully in the Spirit, persistently, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, and purposely for all the saints. I want to go back to those introductory remarks from Kent Hughes as I wrap things up. The enemy approaches. 1,000 swords ring from their scabbards in dreadful symphony. The warriors stand motionless, breathing heavily. And then the Christian soldier does the most amazing thing. He falls to his knees in deep, profound prayer. To be sure, there will be action. He will rise. Steel will flash. But all will be done in prayer, for prayer is primary. So church, as we go out from here, let's remember we must fight on our knees. Let's always fight on our knees. Father, I thank You. Thank You for the strength to get through this sermon with weakness in my voice. That's Your grace and help. Thank You. It's an important message. You want us to be a praying people, a people where prayer just permeates our entire lives. Help us to be that kind of people in every area. Give us victory over temptation. Give us wisdom in decision making. Give us power as we share Christ with those around us. Forgive us when we neglect prayer. By Your grace, You've given us so much power, infinite power in Christ, but we squander it oftentimes. Help us to pray. Help us to keep on asking and keep on seeking, keep on knocking and wait on You, knowing You'll always come through. You'll always clean up our prayer life by Your Spirit. We praise You and thank You for these things. We love You. We give You the praise. Help these songs to be just a sweet aroma to You for Your glory. In the name of Christ, amen. Would you all please stand for a closing song of invitation this morning?